sure, Nick. Sure.
They did. They did say that.
Did you go to a library meeting, or did you go, like, snort crack somewhere?
The library is crack. Yeah!
Oh, I see.
Got our book on.
You got your book on.
Get the book on.
What book was this?
Get your book on. The Fountainhead by Ayn Rand. Hello.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Interesting. Are you an Ayn Rand fan?
Yes. Yes, yeah. I am. Yeah.
I see. So you're part of the Illuminati, is what you're saying.
Ha ha ha! Yes.
That's, what was that guy?
And slightly a socialist, hello.
Yeah, but like a fake socialist.
Oh, very much so.
More like, never mind. I don't wanna.
No, let's not go into Randian philosophies. But in a previous place of employment, they had a very positive sounding quote from Ayn Rand. And I was just like, did anyone ever read Ayn Rand? Because I'm pretty sure any corporation would be,
That's really funny. I see a lot of Ayn Rand quotes. And it's just like that. They're all, like, super positive sounding.
Yeah.
But for someone that's read Ayn Rand, you're always like, I'm pretty sure this means, like, kill the peons. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Isn't everything like that, though, Nick?
Well, I don't know about that.
I think so, Nick. The Illuminati, bro, they're coming to get you.
Illuminati!
Mm-hmm. Illuminati's fake, by the way. Don't at me, okay? It's not a thing.
The Illuminati's real in my head, so let's keep it going.
I mean, maybe in your head, but in real life, there's no such thing.
Come on!
I mean, you can think whatever you want. I'm just telling you.
Hey, I got a little... Are we recording? Dude, are we professional now?
Is this the Nerdy Legion podcast? Does a bear shit in the woods? Yes.
Does the Nerdy Legion podcast star in Martin Freddy? Has it finally started?
It's always started.
Okay, well, I got a little topic for you. Not a topic. I have a statement for you.
All right, I want to hear the statement. But remember, we have a topic. Because after our last episode came out, people were like, wait, you said next episode you were talking about this.
No, I don't know what I don't know what you're talking about. This is the Nerdy Legion podcast. We have too many tangents. So before I forget, Julie the cruise director and I used our Christmas gift from the sister-in-law last weekend.
Yeah,
and went to the Looking Glass Theater downtown Chicago, Illinois,
nice.
And saw Hans Christian Andersen, The Steadfast Tin Soldier.
Nice.
And it was all revolving around, like, there was a lot of puppetry and a lot of forced perspective in it, which was really fascinating. Not a word of dialogue spoken. It was quite intriguing.
Really?
Yeah, it was really, really neat. I had a great time. Even one of the beginning parts of the play had three puppeteers. And it was this little boy on stage playing with, like, these tin soldiers.
Mm.
And the boy, the forced perspective, was each of the puppeteers, two of them were manning one hand each.
Mm-hmm.
So the hand was about three-fourths the size of the puppeteer. And then it had the gigantic head. And the other puppeteer was manning that. And the little boy was picking up stuff. So it was really, really an interesting way for a play. It was fascinating how, without any dialogue, it told a complete story. And it was very, very relevant and emotionally moving. So the Looking Glass Theater, another classic play by them.
Very nice. Did I tell you we're going to go to Cirque du Soleil?
Oh, which one?
Whatever the newest one is, I don't know.
Yeah, but they have, like, many touring groups. They have one stationed in Vegas. They're all over the place.
I'll tell you right now, I'm looking it up.
Because the one in Vegas is all done, like, within, like, a gigantic pool.
Mm. Cirque du Soleil, Axel.
Axel.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Okay, it must be new. I've seen them twice, and no, that was not the one that I saw.
Let me see if I can pull up Exhilarating Acrobatics on Ice.
On ice?
That's what it says.
Ooh, interesting. Okay.
Let's see. Spectacular skating, breathtaking acrobatics, live music, and stunning graphics. It's waiting for you in an all-new ice spectacle. Cirque du Soleil. Axel. Join Axel in his adrenaline-fueled crew on an exhilarating adventure as his passion for music and graphic arts takes you on an electrifying journey.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the lead singer of Guns N' Roses?
Yes, how'd you know?
Or is that the based on the composer of the Beverly Hills Cop theme?
I don't know, man. There's like guitars and leather jackets on the promo images.
Ooh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's very bougie Cirque du Soleil, but there is a point where you can step back from it trying to be high art, and you just sort of realize, all right, these are just acrobats. But it's very, very impressive to see some of the feats that they're pulling off. That part is crazy. But when they try to push it into like foo-foo art, that's sort of where I draw the line. Like, yeah, come on.
Eh, whatever. It is what it is.
Good. When's that coming up? And is all four of you going?
Just me and my wife.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Authentic.
Uh-huh. We are going the 14th?
Ooh, hello Valentine's Day. Look 15th. At you.
The 15th.
Mr. Romantic.
They call me Mr. Romantic.
Are you going to take her to her favorite Mexican restaurant before?
Taco Bell? Hell yeah.
No. That other one that you always say, Grinders, or what the hell's it called?
Grinders.
What's it called? Geppetto's? What is it called?
Fuck if I know.
The place that she had like her little work gathering, and then you and the family. That place. Like, what's it called?
Chewy's? No.
No, it's God, not Chewy's.
What was the name of that place? I don't remember.
And it's not Chevy's.
Is it Chevy's? No, it's not Chevy's. I don't remember.
Chevy's I would recognize.
I don't remember. I did find a fantastic Mexican place.
Oh? Taco Bell?
It's called Carlitos.
Oh.
It's like legit Mexican.
Nice.
Yeah. I was at work and someone bought me lunch. Because I hadn't gone to lunch. So,
Was it the Poo-Poo Bandit?
No, it was not the Poo-Poo Bandit. I get a knock on my door and they're like, I've got you a plate from Carlitos. And I was like, I don't know what that is, but thank you because I'm starving. It was fantastic.
Dang. Is that a place that's closer to work? Is that why you've never been?
It's literally across the street, apparently.
Well, why have you never been? You've lived around there. What the hell?
There's a diner across the street, and apparently it's right next to the diner.
Son of a beesh.
Mm-hmm.
All right, sorry to derail the thing. But, well, first tell me about your weekend, and then you can swing it back to the topic on hand that everybody's holding their breath for.
My weekend. What did I do this weekend? I don't know. I feel like a reboot of last week. I don't know what's been going on the past week, Nick.
You know what it is?
Tell me.
And I used to run into this. I didn't run into it this year, but I would say every other year I do. It's the coming off of Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's Eve. Like, you just have so many crazy events that, like, January just sort of gets lost.
Yeah, it's just like, meh.
Yeah, no one wants to do anything. No one has money to do anything. So it's just sort of, you're on a treadmill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's been super busy at work, though, because, you know, the fiscal year ends in 10 days.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So it's been hectic.
Sounds like you should be taking the team out to Carlitos as a little celebration on day 11.
I might actually, because the new reports came in and I'm number one in the company. Bam!
Hell yeah.
I told my wife and I was like, now they need to give me double money. And she's like, hell yeah, they do. You deserve it. And I was like, nah, I'm going to retire and start a secret mystery cult.
Is that when you throw out to your boss, because she hasn't been your boss the entire year, do you throw out bullet points of, this year was completely different than any other year. I took off for all these comic book events. I went and saw my daughter do after school activities. I came in late. I left early to go see these three movies. And guess what happened? I became number one, and I'm a lot more pleasant to be around and a lot more proficient at what I do.
Mm-hmm. She's such an idiot. I sent her a text because I saw the report came in, and so I texted her. I was like, because we just had we have a conference call every Monday, and I usually don't go, but I went to this one, and by went, I mean I got on the call and muted myself and just left my phone there in speaker. And did not participate. But anyways, so I texted her and I was like, I saw the Matrix reports came out. Why didn't you tell me I was number one in the company?
Yeah, why wasn't that part of the phone call?
Yeah, what was not that part of the phone call? Because she's got this dumb thing where like she wants everyone to shout out like another employee. Like, I ain't got time for that. No, no. My people don't care either.
My point is she should be shouting out you. You're number one.
Well, anyways, now I don't care about that. But I texted her. I was like, why don't you say so? Because she could have just told me. You know what I mean? I don't need it to be on the conference call.
Did she play dumb and pretend like she didn't know? You know damn well she knew. Come on.
She texted me back and said, LOL, dangling the carrot. And I was like, what the fuck carrot? What are you talking about?
Yeah, I think I would have wrote back and been like, by carrot, you mean take 3 days off to celebrate? Yeah. Give me a break. What does Martin get for that? What does the number one kid get?
Oh, the number one kid gets a fat bonus. Where's the bell? Where's the bell? There it is.
Do you get a bonus?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's good. Well, then at least you'll see that. Thank God.
Hopefully. Well, until the tax man sees it and then takes half of it. But still.
Still, I'd take half of half. What the hell?
Hey, that's what I'm saying.
But still, she should be patting you on the back, for God's sake.
I don't need a pat on the back, but at least be like, hey, the new Matrix came out. You should take a look at it.
Yeah, that's just rude. And just you're so hands-off. Like, she doesn't have to do anything. She just gets number one person right there. Like, way to go. That's what you inherited. Somebody who doesn't need anything from you, yet brings in number one. Hey, Martin's boss, send her this episode. Hey, Martin's boss, when does Martin get something? There you go. Just send her that little clip.
Oh, man.
I'll be a cheerleader.
Yeah, anyway, so that'll be good. I'm looking forward to my bonus.
Hell yeah.
It'll be nice.
Still be getting something from her. More than just a team Carlito's lunch.
I was going to say, she still owes us lunch.
Yeah.
I'm just going to keep buying everyone lunch on the company money until she buys me lunch.
Freaking crazy. Corporate life.
I'm telling you, man, it sucks. It is the fucking worst. But yeah, so that's why I told my wife. I was like, I'm just going to retire and then start my cult. It's going to be awesome.
Nice.
My wife's trying to change jobs though. It was so funny. Actually, we have a couple stories on this. So, she gets home and I started making dinner. It was banging. Cause we had some asparagus that was about to go bad. So, I put it in the oven. I made rice with asparagus and, ground beef, which sounds very boring, except I spice it up. It's like a Szechuan beef kind of thing that I do. With like coconut rice. And usually I do broccoli, but, the only broccoli we have is frozen. I don't want to use it. So I was like, I'm going to use this asparagus. And so I'm making this thing up and, we started chatting and she tells me that she's trying to, thinking about applying to this other job. So my wife's in accounting, thinking about applying to this other job because it's like a few bucks more an hour. And, she's like, do you think I should do it? I'm like, well, where is it? Cause she left her previous job because she had to drive through like 30 minutes of rush hour traffic to get there. I think it was about the same money. So I don't think she lost anything, but she's like, do I do it? And I was like, where is it? She's like, well, down the street this way. And I was like, that's like the same distance. Just fucking do it. And she's like, well, I don't want to leave them hanging or whatever. And I was like, you don't leave him hanging. What you do is you apply, you interview. If you get the job, you go to them and say, hey, I just got this other job, or I got an offer for this other job with this much money. Can you match that? If you can match it, I'll stay. Right? That seems pretty straightforward.
And the sweet thing is, tax season's coming up, so this is the perfect time for her to leave the accounting job.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know, Trump's economy is fantastic because, you know, mm-hmm. He's the best at everything he does. So
is that what she's doing?
So after we had this conversation, she's like, okay, I put in for it. Cool. I mean, it's not much, right? It's a couple of bucks an hour. But like couple of bucks an hour adds up.
Hell yeah.
You know what I mean?
Unless she's uber happy with where she's at, why not? Sure.
Well, that's why I say if you get the job, give him a counter offer. Be like, hey, you know what I mean? I might go somewhere else, but if you can match this, then I'll just stay here.
Right.
Anyways, so we had that talk. And then somehow, like, we started talking about relationships. And this was really funny. Because, you know, my wife and I have a very interesting relationship. Right. She likes her stuff and I like my stuff. And, sometimes the twain meet, sometimes they do not. But somehow it came out. Oh, cause she was talking about her parents. Right. So I remember her parents just moved into that new house and she's like, have you been there since they moved in? I said, no, just like before they got all the furniture in. So apparently the master bedroom is like my mother-in-law's room because my father-in-law snores so badly that they haven't slept in the same room for like 20 years, right? He sleeps in a separate bed. And so she's talking to me about this whole situation. And I was like, I can definitely understand because I'm pretty sure my wife got her snoring from her dad. I know, TMI. Do not at Heather, okay? I mean, you can. I don't care. So,
are you telling me or the listener?
I'm telling everybody.
Oh, okay. Because I'll just bring it up on Facebook because then you'll never see it.
Well, that's true, but then she'll show me her phone.
Of course she does. That's why I do it.
Anyways, so she's telling me this whole thing, right? Like, and it's funny, like, her dad didn't even decorate the room. Like, it's full of, like, palm trees and stuff in there.
Oh, jeez. You mean a typical dude.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Every dude loves palm trees.
Right. No, I mean, a dude wouldn't care if it's decorated or not. In their head, they're just thinking, well, all I'm doing is sleeping there. Who cares?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, it's obvious that she's the one that decorated the room and not him.
Sure.
And she's like, see, that's why we get along so well. I was like, yeah, we get along perfectly. You go and watch your 600-pound life. That's her kick this week. You go watch your 600-pound life. And I go in my studio, and then at night, we sleep in the same bed, say hi in the morning, and go to work. You know what I mean? it's perfect. It's perfect. So we have found the secret to a great working partnership.
Nice.
And that is do the opposite of what my parents did, because my parents lived together and worked together and slept in the same bed together, and my wife and I do the opposite of that.
Makes sense.
Yep. Hey, it's been working out. It's almost 7 years, I think. I think that's right.
There you go.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I like it.
But anyways, so that's been my weekend. Nice. She freaked out though. We got this. We got a paper from the United States Postal Service that required a signature from our bank. And we're like, what the hell could it be? Mo is like, maybe it's some tax paper. And I was like, why would they send you tax paperwork from a bank account? She's like, well, maybe it's something for your truck.
Is it a publisher's clearinghouse?
No.
Big check?
No.
Did your wife write to Ellen DeGeneres and Ellen DeGeneres sent a flunky to talk to you?
Yes. Oprah said, you get a new car and you get a new car. Anyways, so today we get another piece of paper from them. Apparently, our bank is retarded. So the paper said, your car loan is on default. If you do not pay it by February 5th, we will be repossessing the vehicle.
Sheesh.
And I was like, what the fuck? We pay our shit every month. You know what I mean?
Well, pay the bill, man. Come on.
So I bring it in. I start cooking. She comes in. And I was like, there's this paper from the bank. And I explained it to her. She's like, that doesn't make any sense. I pay every month, which she does.
Uh-huh.
We're not deadbeats. We pay our bills.
Just pay a bill.
So she calls the bank, and 30 minutes later, I don't understand how they cannot figure out that there's a payment made every fucking month on the same day.
Wow.
So she had to like give them a confirmation number and everything from the payment. And they're like, oh yeah, we see it. That's our bad. Like we put it in towards your initial and not something, I don't know, some long complicated answer. And I was like, did you ask for a free month on the fucking car payment?
Uh-huh.
Which she did not. Shame on her.
Well, I have a similar story. The wife has been trying to pay off a Loyola medical bill.
Mm.
And it got so bad that Loyola has been asking for their portion of money for like 3 months. To the point where in December, they're like, we're going to put you in collections. And my wife kept saying, you don't understand. I have it set up through Chase. On my end, Chase says that it delivered your bill to this account.
Mm-hmm.
Here's verification. And then she goes to the bank, gets an actual like hard copy so they can fax it over. And she's like, how about if I just come by the office, drop it off? Oh, no. This is out of state. This isn't in Chicago.
Mm.
So then we're going through this, and I mean, she was on the phone with him at least 4 separate times. Finally, it got worked out on Loyola's end. And then all of a sudden this week, we get something from Chase, and they sent us, they credited our account, that money, the money that Loyola now says we paid, they credited our account. And what they said was, we've been trying to pay this for 90 days. We can't pay this to Loyola. So instead of just leaving that money in limbo or trying other means to get that through, we just credited it back to you. So now you can handle it.
Wow.
Yeah. And that just happened, honest to God, today.
Wow.
Julie, the cruise director, was like, they just sat on that money for 90 days.
That is crazy.
Yeah. So, hey, sometimes the electronic mail isn't all that efficient.
I mean, here's what I'm going to say. Don't they have fucking computers that keep track of this shit?
I don't know, because my wife had to fax over a damn thing. I was like, fax? I'm like, who does that? What? Get out of here.
No one faxes anything. I hate that. Please send a fax. Like, where do I go? Like, there's not even a Kinko's that I can go to fax something.
And the strange thing is, this same process, as you well know, the wife has a lot of medical issues.
Uh-huh.
So she pays medical bills left and right. Almost every month, she has another medical bill.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been doing this exact same process for 2-3 years.
Mm.
But for however reason, however this one was routed, was incorrect.
Wow.
Yeah, so stupid.
That's bananas. That's bananas.
The stresses that no one needs.
That's what I'm saying. I shouldn't have to do any of this shit.
Yeah.
It's called a database. Maybe I can go set one up for them.
Please do.
Anyways. So what?
So the topic? I don't even know what the topic is, to be honest with you. If you were going to tell me your favorite Wonder Woman, I would happily answer that topic. I have no clue where we're going.
We could talk about Wonder Woman. Is there something going on with her?
Yeah, Linda Carter's kick ass. Other than
love
that,
Linda Carter
to talk about.
Mm, she's great.
Mm-hmm.
I think my computer clock is wrong. What does it say? 3:14. That seems like a problem.
Are you sure that isn't where your internet is at, and you're looking at like Iceland time?
No, it's weird. So my computer clock is correct, but my web browser says it's 3:14. And I have the problem in TweetDeck too, because like when you sent me that message that you were going to be ready in 5, it said you sent that at 2:36 in the morning.
Yeah, that's when I did. What?
No. Nick. No, I wanted to discuss this with you, and believe it or not, I was actually surprised, flabbergasted even, by the number of people that are interested in this kind of really weird shit, which is why friend of the show, Ronnie Barrett, and I might be doing a podcast about it. But anyways, we talked about this two episodes ago. I teased it at the end. It was not mushrooms, by the way. I was asked about my mushroom ritual. We will not discuss that on this episode. Well, maybe.
Why not?
I mean, we might. It's a very like complicated process. Not really, but it is like a 2-day process. I like to prepare myself. I call it communion. You know what I mean? So you have to have like a whole ritual around communion.
Do you have to wear that frilly white garment and ring those bells? Because I did that.
Yes, and my banana hammock and a big Pope hat.
I was a little altar boy, so I would know what to do there. best thing about being an altar boy. Go ahead. You want to guess?
Free wine.
No, I'm a good boy. I don't do stuff like that. No, best thing about being an altar boy, carrying around that incense and shaking that around when like the priest is walking up and down the aisles and you're the one shaking it. Oh man, that's the best. Cause you shake it and then the cloud of smoke for all the idiots that like you don't like. Because I went to a Catholic school, so I was doing this, I don't know, fifth grade maybe. But you could shake it, and all the idiots, and you're not hitting them in the face, but then the cloud goes right over their face, and there's no way that entire row is not coughing. So you just sort of walk back and forth, and like the priest has no clue that you're doing it. But if you just sort of like pop it up and then pop it back down, since it's on a chain, as soon as it lands, oh my God, do you get a cloud of freaking smoke right in people's faces? So, oh, it was so good. Is it a little passive aggressive? Absolutely. But it was great. It was great.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I would love to hear about this ritual. I've never taken mushrooms or any psychedelics, so to get into the weeds on any of these topics, I would find fascinating. I would love it.
So I gotta see how we're gonna do this for episode 250. I'm gonna have to like kick my wife out of the room so I can lay in bed and do this. But I do have like a whole process. So the day before, I don't eat anything.
Ooh.
I don't eat anything. I cleanse my bowels. All I drink is water.
Ooh.
And then when I wake up, I have a very light breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is when the process begins. So I make sure no electronics, right? No phone, nothing like that. I just want to be like in the right headspace. Cause I think that's the most important thing is being in the right headspace. If you like want to do it for like something constructive, if you just want to like party, then you do whatever the fuck you want. I don't do it to party. So, I lay in bed. I get in my PJs. I put in my bathrobe.
Mm-hmm.
I crawl into bed. I turn the heat up just a smidgen. We usually keep the house at like 66.
Mm-hmm.
So 68 roughly is what I put it on. Just a couple degrees. Cause I like to be nice and warm and toasty. Cause I don't want to move. You know what I mean? I want to sit there and appreciate the moment. And that's part of the reason that I don't eat the day before. Cause I don't want to be like in the zone and have to go to the bathroom.
Oh, okay.
You see what I mean?
Sure.
That's also why I just do the water. Right. So I drink some water the night before. All that gets out of my system by morning time. And I do a very light breakfast, just in case, like I don't want to eat a whole bunch and then like, feel pukey. You know what
now,
I mean?
Now, what about, when do you do your high colonic?
I don't do a colonic. That's bad for you.
Hey, I'm just asking questions. Sheesh.
But I get in there. We have blackout curtains in our bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
So I make sure the curtains are closed. It's nice and dark in the room.
Mm.
And then I put on my music. It's a very like chill music. What would you compare it to? I don't know. There's like, it's like a little mix of like sitar music with like very light drums, some like space sounds.
Okay.
And that puts me in the mood. That puts me in the mood. So I'm chilling there.
Can I ask you, have you ever listened to the band Can?
I have not.
C-A-N. They're a German band that started in the 70s, and they started with the first singer, who was Suzuki, and he was a Japanese singer, and he would do a lot of whispering. It was like German krautrock. Like Can sort of came out of that, and I'm telling you, I think you would like. They have a album called Eggy Bamyasi, but it's very percussion oriented. And I think I've never done any psychedelics, but the music has such a cool rhythm to it. Mm-hmm. That I think it would be perfect for that. I get that you might not want words, but I think you should put a little Can, maybe not while you're doing mushrooms, but I think you might want to listen to it in the car a little bit.
Interesting.
Give it a try. Tagomago or Eggy Bamyaki.
All right, let me look this up right now. Tagomago, just spelled like it sounds.
Tagomago.
All right.
Cool. Or Eggy Bamyasi is EGEBAMYSI.
Oh, this is from the 70s.
Yeah, I said it was from the 70s.
It's going to be awesome.
But it just has such a great, like, it's very percussion oriented. It's really, really cool.
But is it like soft percussion?
It's sort of like rolling drums a little bit.
Mm.
But it isn't like John Bonham. No, it's nothing like that.
Okay. Because the music I listen to is percussion.
But there's a singer. There's a singer to it, though. There is a lot of singing to it.
Okay, see, I don't do lyrics.
You just listen to it, like I said.
Put I'm going to listen to this. I'm going to listen to this tonight.
Put it in your truck. You let me know.
Yes.
Give it more than just one song. Like, if you listen to a full album of it, both of those albums are phenomenal. And they both have valleys and peaks.
Mm.
So some of it will get loud, and then some of it's very, very like hypnotic and quiet.
I see.
But it's great. Yeah, it's good. I think you would like it.
I'm going to check this out. So I put on my music,
mm-hmm.
and I do my meditation. I do a 30-minute meditation
mm-hmm.
with some breath work. Okay? And I think I've explained the breath work meditation before.
Yeah.
If you haven't heard that episode, I don't know what episode it was. Look up something like Wim Hof Method. Okay, so I do something like that, where you start off doing like deep breath in and out, kind of slow, and then you speed it up. Then you breathe out, hold your breath, and after you do this a couple of times, like three times, you're holding your breath for like 3 or 4 minutes, and it gets you like really in the zone, man. When you get closer to the 30-minute mark, you do one of these like super fast breathing exercises, and you just like bam, float. You're floating, and this is like without even doing any psychedelics. I think we talked about this before. You said it was hyperventilation, but something similar to that.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like you're doing that, like you're over oxidating yourself.
Yes. Yeah, like your nose gets kind of numb, your ears get tingly, your hands get tingly. It's an interesting sensation.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, mentally, it does put you in the extremely calm state. And that's mm-hmm. exactly what I want, because I want to be able to absorb everything. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now some like really cool experience. I had this really weird one, and I can't remember like the exact thing. It doesn't really matter. But there was like, I was analyzing this fairly recent event and somehow ended up making like a mental connection to something from like 5 years ago.
Oh, neat.
Yeah. It was very cool. Anyway, so that's my process. It's got to be dark. The music is going to be low, right? Cause I don't want it overbearing.
Sure.
But I do want it to be like an internal metronome in my head. And then I just relax, man. I let it come in. You know what I mean?
Have you ever listened to Holger Zuke?
I have not.
Okay. He's a German guy too.
Man, those Germans.
Oh, dude. But this is, most of his music is quiet, no singing. So
That might be perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, he's part of Can.
Yes, he is.
Uh-huh. Dude, my dad had that hair in the 70s.
Hell yeah, he did. Hell yeah. Can's, just to let you know, Can's first singer, just like the first singer of Pink Floyd, went cuckoo and had to leave the band.
Oh, no shit.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's all that LSD.
Yes, unlike me who didn't do any drugs, he was heavily into drugs.
I remember the first time I heard that. I mean, I think everyone, well, not you, because you're a goody-goody. Mm-hmm. But I think everyone that listens to, well, not so much Dark Side of the Moon, but like The Wall. Well, I guess Dark Side of the Moon works too. But The Wall, when you're like high, oh my.
Yeah, most Pink Floyd, my friend.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, come that's on. True. Now.
But, yeah. But some of it more than others.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, they knew what they were. Hey, surprisingly, they knew what they were doing.
Yes, they did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Except Syd Barrett could not take it. It became too intense for him.
That well, that's what I'm saying. You gotta, when you do this kind of thing, you gotta like have the correct intent. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, look, I did drugs when I was in high school and college, right? And then I quit for a very long time.
Sure.
But back then, like, you're stupid. You're like, man, this feels awesome. I'm just like fucking floating. Mm-hmm. You don't think about like making it something useful. And yeah. It's very useful. Like they just legalized it in Colorado for, like PTSD and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Did you hear that, they're in California, they're finally putting not CBD, but THC into drinks. Like nice. Energy drinks.
Nice.
Yeah, those are going to be rolling out on the market in the next month or so.
That's hilarious.
Uh-huh. But I'm not even talking about that type of stuff. I mean, I remember in high school, there were plenty of kids that were like spray painting into bags and huffing it. Like, oh yeah, you do feel different. You're right.
Of course. Dude, I remember sniffing a black Sharpie in like seventh grade. And I was like, sure, whoa, this is crazy. Yeah,
then you're like, I think I'm high. I'm high.
Yep. Or whippets, right, with whipped cream.
Sure.
Yeah.
But now, when you're floating, uh-huh, or when you're prepping, I should say, and you want the mood all to be right, and you're in your PJs and robe, do you just have to free ball? Because you're like, I need to be open. I need the nether region to be open.
No, man, I'm in my PJs.
So you're in the, well, PJ bottoms, but I'm saying like nothing.
Oh, like, underneath the PJs.
Yes.
No, nothing underneath the PJs.
There you go.
No, man, you got to free ball it.
Yeah, you have to be free.
There's no other way because I'm free balling.
Thank you, Tom Petty.
But yeah, it, and like I said, I'm not saying, hey, everyone should do this.
Right.
But it is very therapeutic, Nick. I was talking to a listener earlier today, who was apparently drinking and having a good time.
Nice.
And, then he made fun of me because I was like, oh, I quit drinking. Cause I haven't drank since Ronnie's wedding.
What?
Yeah.
But you bought all that, moonshine or whatever it was, whiskey, bourbon, whatever it was.
I shared it.
But you didn't bring it home and drink it?
I think I had like a shot out of it.
Oh my gosh. So for our 250th episode, you're not going to be drinking and shrooming?
Oh, that's a terrible idea.
I don't know. I've never done it.
That'll counteract.
I don't know.
It's two opposite effects.
Okay.
Yeah, it's two opposite effects.
Maybe I have to drink.
Oh, that would be terrible. You drunk asking me questions while I'm floating through the fifth dimension.
Are you saying I'm not a fun drunk?
Is that what you're saying? You're hilarious drunk.
Thank you.
You're hilarious drunk. People love when we do drunk episodes.
Yeah, it's a rare occasion now.
It is a rare occasion. It's extremely rare now because I don't drink.
But now, is that a temporary thing? Is that just like a dry January thing? Or are you just done?
No, I feel like I'm done.
Wow. All right.
I just feel like the experiences that I get doing this other thing are like, I don't know, they're much better for me mentally.
They surpass the after effects of drinking.
Yeah.
That totally makes sense.
Yeah.
The after effects of drinking are no fun.
Mm-mm. No. So obviously I'm not going to like fucking do this shit every day. Nor would I drink every day.
Right.
But,
Thank God.
Yes, that's true. But, I just feel like it just puts me in a better place.
Mm-hmm.
Not just like momentarily, but like for the long run.
Nice.
You know what I mean? The effects last for a long time. So I just don't have the impetus to drink.
I like that.
Yeah, it's good.
I respect that.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, that's not our topic though, but that's good.
Well, I would like to hear the topic. Unless you have more prepping. What about afterwards? Is there any like cleanup crap that you have to do afterwards?
No, there's no cleanup.
Okay.
Nope, there's no cleanup. The problem is if I do have to go pee.
Mm.
And I think we've talked about this. I try to keep my eyes closed going to the bathroom. That's a chore.
Yeah, I would think it would be. Even when you're not on mushrooms, it's hard to do that.
Yeah.
Keep your eyes closed.
Yes. But, no, there's no cleanup. I just got to make sure that, you know, when I do it, it's like a whole day experience. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Cause, you know, it's like an hour or two for the prep. And then, you know, the experience lasts 4 or 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you remember how it was when we were recording that night.
Yeah.
Like, you're still kind of aloof for a while.
Yeah, I liked it.
Cause you're like, processing all this stuff still, you know what I mean?
What would the arc be? Where would it, where are you planning on, because we always record at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
What part of this process are you planning on? This is prime Martin mushrooming time that I'm going to aim to hit when we record this episode.
I'll probably start the process like an hour or two before.
So that'll be like the prime, by the time Nerdy Legion rolls around, that'll be the prime bit.
Yes.
What can I expect from that? Do you want me to be asking you questions? Do you want me to take the lead on this? Are you going to be what can I expect to see out of you? What do you want from me? Because I don't want to bum your high out. I mean, I just want to get the most Martin bang for the buck.
Mm.
And I would happily bring, if you want a this or that, I'll bring a this or that. If you want a quiz, we can do that. If you want to talk about a topic, we can do that. If you just want a free form, for sure, we can do that.
I always want a free form. However, I think a this or that would be perfect.
Don't you need, I'm just thinking of, like, do you want guardrails?
I can't promise I can abide by guardrails.
But by guardrails, I mean, like, well, yeah, if you do the heavy lifting, I just sort of want to coast on this one.
There you go.
Okay. All right. Gotcha.
Exactly.
Because I would happily do any and all. I do not want to bum you out. I don't want to piss you off. I just want you to have a great experience. But also, I want the benefit of, like, this is Martin. Good, bad, ugly. I don't care. Whatever.
You know, it'd be good. We should have the listeners send in questions.
Oh. Thought-provoking questions?
Doesn't
what type
matter.
Of questions would you be looking for?
Whatever questions they want to ask.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That could be dangerous.
It could be dangerous.
There's a lot of questions I would want to ask.
You forget I'm a psychopath. Danger's my middle name.
That's true. We did take a test last episode.
I took another test. Did I tell you that?
No.
Yeah, I only got a 17 out of 20 on that one. So I'm just like on the low end of like hyperpsychosis.
Oh, man. Weak sauce, man. I need you back at full psychopath.
Anyways, topic.
Yep.
We started talking about this, and then the episode was ending, so I was like, hey, we'll come back to it. So I found a few new podcasts, which I really enjoy.
Nice.
One of them being Brothers of the Serpent. So I'll shout them out because they're awesome. In fact, I think I recommended them to a couple people that I know are into this kind of stuff. Basically what they do is, what would be like the gist? Like they talk about like, for example, like let's say the pyramids, right? Because they just did like a 5-part episode, 5-part series on the pyramids. Like they might talk about some interesting book that they read and like read quotes from it and like discuss the topics in there. So this one was like something about the pyramids being like a power plant, for example. Okay. And they're hilarious. So I recommend that just for like the fun factor. It's like the nerdy legion of like alternate archaeology.
Mm.
Okay. They're hilarious. It's two brothers.
So do they go into like, how did those stones at Stonehenge get there? That type of stuff?
Yes.
Okay. And do they have theories or is it just wackadoodle?
So that's why I like this show, right? Because there's a ton of this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it is like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Right? But the way that they present it, the majority of it is not like their own theories, right? Like this pyramid series that they did is based on a book. And like the book goes through like, I would say arguably good science. This is true for like most of the stuff they do. They do tackle some stuff that's like maybe a little weirder. But this podcast at least tends to stick with stuff that could be plausible.
Okay.
Right. It's not like, I don't know, what would be something like super woo woo? Like the secret space program.
Ooh. Right? Yeah.
Like, is there a secret space program? I don't fucking know. We have a space force. They have camouflaged uniforms for some reason. So maybe, like, you need camo in space. You know what I mean? I don't know if you know about a secret space program. It's something where, like, I don't fucking know. There's, like, sometimes they kidnap kids and, like, train them in this, like, oh, God, what's that series of books? Ender's Game? It's like Ender's Game, but real life.
Mm.
Okay, where like kids get kidnapped and they're trained this like military thing to fight like this war in space.
And not so much terrible homophobic perspective from the author.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Which is so funny because I first read that book when I was like 9 and I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah. Orson Scott Card, you rock.
Yeah, you rock. I read like the whole series. I loved it.
Yeah.
And then, and when the movie came out, I was like, yeah, this movie's pretty good. Like, I should reread the book. And I reread the book and I'm like, oh my.
See, I was in the same perspective. And then I'm like, I should go see the movie. And then all this stuff came out about how much of a dirtbag Orson Scott Card was. And I read that and I'm like, oh, F that movie. I'm like, I'm done with that jangle.
Anyway, so they do like these kind of topics, right? But mm-hmm. but I think they present it really well. They also do another podcast called Cosmographia.
Oh yeah, you talk about that one.
Which I've talked about that one. That one's got Randall Carlson, who I was first introduced to him on Joe Rogan's podcast. Mm. And he, what is he? He's not an architect. He owns a construction company with his brother. But he also does classes and stuff on like sacred geometry. He's like one of these guys that proposes this Younger Dryas impact theory, which just like explains a lot of he's a hobbyist geologist, basically. You know what I mean? Mm. He's been really interested in geology since he was very young. So, like, he can, like, look at an environment and be like, huh, this seems like this would have happened. And, like, throws out all those geology terms. I'm like, I don't know what any of that means, but that sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very good about the science part also. Mm-hmm. Right? So, anyways, so they do this podcast. Randall Carlson also has some theories about, like, Atlantis and stuff like that, which can get a little woo-woo, you know what I mean, when you talk about Atlantis. But he sticks through like quote unquote legit stuff. right? And by that I mean, like, you read the description of Atlantis from Plato, like, obviously it can't be like some place in Africa. It's got to be like here, because like this geological formation happens here, not here. Anyway, stuff like that. So I've been getting really into. I've always been interested in this kind of stuff, but I've gotten a lot more into it recently. Probably because of all the mushrooms. Who knows? It's possible. But I like to think a little differently. You know what I mean? And one thing that I've realized through these sessions, these self-improvement sessions for me, is like to figure out like exactly the things that I believe in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And what I find interesting is like the process of figuring that out and how that's come about and how some of those threads like might take several months, but end up connecting. And it always starts with like one little piece, right? Like I always joke like, you know, there's no time, right? I always say that. Whenever everyone's like, oh, I'm already late, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, whatever, there's no time. But like that is a core thing that I do believe in, right? And like how that impacts other things and whether I think that they're real or plausible or not, right? But I try to be as, I don't want to say critical, but like as rational as possible when I go look at these things, right? Because I think a lot of times like people just believe shit just because like somebody told them to believe it, right?
Yeah, you're conditioned to believe it.
Yeah, you're conditioned. So like you were an altar boy, right? So like yeah. I'm sure you received a lot of Catholic conditioning in order for you to be like, hey, yeah, I'm an altar boy. This is awesome, right? Or like anything else.
I don't think it was conditioning that made me believe that being an altar boy was awesome.
Well, I'm just throwing that as an example. I'm not saying that you actually believe that. Okay? But like that kind of thing. Right? Like I don't fucking know. What would be something it doesn't matter.
No, there's just a tradition to it that, you know, you don't really buck traditions until you start thinking a little outside the box.
Sure. And, you know, like, you're
but
right.
I would say that's society.
You're right. And it's parenting, right?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause, like, obviously you don't want your kids to get hurt. So you're like, hey, don't touch the freaking stove 'cause it's hot.
Right.
Right? That's not a good example 'cause that's not, like, conditioning. But anyways. So after all this time, I'm like, well, like, what do I really believe in, right? Because I know what I don't believe in, but figuring out that stuff, I think, is a lot easier than figuring out, like, what is true for you, okay? Because we do that kind of thing all the time. Like, you define – it's easier to define what something is not than what something is.
Yeah, it's hard to have faith in something. It's a lot easier to have science and to believe something because you're looking at the facts and looking at science.
Right.
It's a lot harder to believe in an abstract faith.
Yes. So last time we talked about this kind of thing, I gave this terrible example about an electron, for example. But like that's true for anything, right? Like if you remember like history. Right, like everyone remembers that story. What was it? The story about Washington was, I don't fucking know. Like every time he shit, like flowers grew out of the soil. Right, like you're taught that kind of thing in school. But like, is it true? Because like you weren't there. Your teacher wasn't there.
Isn't it also like Washington chopped down the cherry tree, and it's like then all of a sudden historians are like, he never chopped down the cherry tree. Come on. But you just learn it.
Yeah, you just learn it, right? So the difference being, somebody's telling you, like, hey, this is what happened. And you're just taking it on faith that that's what happened.
Yeah.
Okay? What I'm trying to do is learn if that thing actually happened, right? And if so, then I can make it part of my experience. And if it didn't, then I can chalk it off. Ooh, there goes my spoon.
Wow, what the heck?
It's my spoon. I was stirring my coffee.
Oh, okay.
I did start using a mini frother, by the way.
Oh, God. Okay. All right. Yeah.
You need to. We're gonna put a pin on this.
I know. Why do you keep tangenting? And now I have a mini frother story. Damn it, Ferretti. Stay on topic.
Mini frother, greatest thing ever. Use it for all your coffee needs.
You better stop talking, or I'm gonna share a story. Go.
So anyways. So I listen to this podcast and some of the other stuff, and I've been doing a lot of reading. In fact, I just read the Hermeticism collection, which is fascinating. I got it on Audible, so I was listening to it at work. It's got the life and death or the life and times of Hermes Trismegistus, the Kabbalion, and one other one I can't remember. Oh, the Divine Pymander. They're hermetic writings, so they're like, you know, pre-Christianity, pre a lot of things. Mm. And right now, I just got a copy of The Secret Teachings of All Ages by Manly P. Hall, who wrote one of the books in this Audible book that I'm reading. And he seemed like an interesting dude. So I ordered his gigantic 1,000-page Secret Teachings of All Ages, and I will be reading it at some point.
Jeez. Sounds like a manifesto.
I don't even know. He goes through a lot of stuff in here.
Yeah, I was going to say 1,000 pages. Woo.
There's like, fuck, I don't know, man. There's like chapters on like mythological symbolism, hermetic symbols in like U.S. government.
Nice.
Like Pythagorean history, like all kinds of stuff in here. It's like an anthology of weird shit.
And you say the Masons are made up. Come on.
Yes. Anyway, Manly P. Hall, a fascinating guy. I recommend anyone listening go look him up. I think like a bunch of his lectures are on YouTube. Anyways. So this got me thinking, right? Because they're talking about like all the stuff, like how much of this is true or not true. And it got me thinking, you know what I mean? Because, like, when you go to school, you get taught, and I'm sure, like, some of that's changing because there's a lot of, like, recent findings on, like, human history with, like, Neanderthals and Denisovans and all that stuff. But it got me thinking, like, Nick, you're a pretty smart dude, right? I'm a pretty smart dude.
Thanks, buddy.
I think our listeners are pretty smart dudes and dudettes. The example that I kind of ended off on that episode was, you know, there's like 200,000 years is supposed to be what humans have been around. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Modern humans. I'm not talking about like Homo erectus or nothing like that. Just Homo sapiens. 200,000 years is a long fucking time, Nick.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that like things generally, like knowledge increases in a very steep curve. Right. And you can see that in like the past 120 years, 150 years. We're like, hey, we just invented the steam engine. And like all of a sudden we're like, flying through space and have telescopes that can see like billions of light years into the past, right? I understand all that. But my question to you, Nick, is don't you think that I know that we're taught a certain thing, right? Like civilization started in whatever, like Sumeria, 5,000 years ago. What were we doing for 195,000 years? So this is kind of the thing that I wanted to just go back and forth with you a little bit. Because I don't know if you ever thought about it, but I'm sure you have some ideas, or at least like things that maybe you were told could be feasible. Don't you think it's like really weird that for 195,000 years, we're just like running around, hanging out in caves, like shooting, like throwing stones at mammoths or whatever, and then like all of a sudden one day overnight we're like farming and like domesticating animals and like building aqueducts and pyramids and whatever else? That seems a little strange, don't you think?
Goes from cave paintings to farming and aqueducts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
don't you think that's weird?
Sure, but what's the scientific reason?
There is none.
You don't have one? Are you saying that there's no UFOs come to visit and give us all this? All
right, I'm going
to
say this. I do not believe in ancient aliens.
Okay.
Okay. I do believe in aliens, but I don't think that, like, they need to come here and teach us anything.
You don't?
I think people are pretty fucking smart.
Okay. Are you sure?
I mean, I've met some really stupid-ass people.
Yeah, I was going to say, I see them online all the time, buddy.
There are definitely some very dumbass people. But think about, like, how many, like, scientists and engineers and stuff there are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's a population that has the knowledge and ingenuity to advance us. You know what I mean? Like, there's people like me, like, oh, hey, here's a copper wire and, like, fucking quartz crystal. I'm going to make a damn Tesla car. You know what I mean? I see these people on YouTube all the time. These people are real.
I still think the dum-dums outweigh those people.
For sure. The dum-dums for sure outweigh the smarty pants. But, like, there's always, like, some smarty pants in every group. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like, if a smarty pants figures out, like, hey, if I, whatever, chop this tree up in, like, a corkscrew and I put it near the water, like, I can have a water pump with no power, right? Like, you don't even need power. You don't need batteries. I'm not talking about, like, anything like that. Like, through simple ingenuity, you can make some really cool stuff.
Yeah, let's use plumbing to take the poo-poo out of your house with using gravity.
So you're telling me in 195,000 years, no one's like, hey, that round rock rolls down the hill. Let me attach it to this piece of wood, and now I have a cart. Like, surely that happened.
Yeah, of course it did. I mean, you've played The Sims, you know.
But not before 5,000 years ago.
That's true.
That's preposterous.
Right. That's why when playing Civilization, you know, that's one of the moves. All of a sudden, like, the wheel gets invented. And then everything jumps forward. You know how it goes.
Yes.
You know, then it says achievement unlocked, 15 points.
Achievement unlocked, 15 points. Yeah. So here's what I'm saying. It seems to me really weird, right? Like, surely somebody before 5,000 years ago figured out a fucking wheel.
Ancient aliens, yes.
Well, maybe. No, I don't know. Maybe. Who knows? I don't know. I've never seen one.
I haven't either. But it's fun to think of.
It's fun to think of.
It is.
But then, like, how did the ancient aliens learn it? Anyway, we're not going to talk about that because that's irrelevant. I'm talking about people, Nick.
Sure.
You telling me, like, people couldn't figure out how to build a fucking grass hut for 195,000 years?
You put a lot of faith in people.
You think people are that dumb?
I think we lived in caves, drawing on cave walls, and sleeping under animal furs and pelts for quite a long period of time. That would be my guess.
Nick, 195,000 years is a long time.
It is, yeah. That's why I'm not surprised. I'm just saying you look at how lazy people nowadays are. I'm sure in caveman times they weren't running out to, like, hey, if I take that water, that rapid water that's going in that river right now, and tie something to it, I can create energy. I'm sure that isn't even going through their head. They're probably not even thinking, oh, why don't I hook up this motorized thing so I can turn my meat on the fire instead of me doing it. I'm sure that even took hundreds of years, if not longer.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a level of laziness. I think you're giving innovation, people that bring on innovation, I think you're giving the credit to way more people than what actually is reality.
I'm not saying that there's a huge number of people that are this way, but there's always, like, a percentage. You know what I mean? Like, a tenth of a percent.
And I think your percentages are wrong.
You think it's less than a tenth of 1%?
Less than
one. You tell me 1 in 1,000 people.
All right, then I would agree with that. But how many people at caveman times? How many groups of 1,000 were there together to bring up that one person? That's what I'm saying.
True. But then you start getting into a different direction, right? Because if that's the logic, right, let's say most groups are like 20 people.
I have never thought through this concept. This is the first time I've ever even approached this. So
great. This is perfect. This is
interesting.
All right.
So, prove me wrong, shed light on it, and show me through facts and history. I would love it.
Well, we're going to get to that.
Great.
But all right, so we're going to – I think one in 1,000 people being smart enough is an okay estimate.
Okay.
You want to go with that? Can we go with one in 1,000?
Sure.
All right. And you're living in groups of, let's say, 20 people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this is 500 groups, right? No, 50 groups. 50 groups of 20 people. If one of those groups ends up having this one smarty pants, then they have an obvious advantage, right? Because they have some kind of technology. And I'm not talking about computer technology. I'm talking about just like the fucking wheel.
Sure.
Okay. Or not even a chariot, like a cart. Okay.
Are you playing Civilization?
I love Civ.
I got
it on sale, on a Steam sale.
It seems like you are reading more Sid Meier's books or the group that is Sid Meier's. Because this is like so Civilization.
Maybe.
Because all it takes is one person to invent one thing. Mm-hmm. And then they can hoard it over everyone in that region and take over that region because of that one thing.
Because of that one thing.
Yep.
Right. But then when you take over that region, now you're sharing that technology because you have more people that have access to that technology.
It's not a closed system.
Right. It's not a closed system. So you have more people. You have this technology. You want people to learn how to use it because if when you die, someone needs to know how to make it. You know what I mean? So you teach other people how to do it.
Definitely.
So you have the one in 1,000 person that's a smarty pants, but now all of a sudden you have, let's say, 5 apprentices. Okay? And then those 5 apprentices end up having 5 apprentices. And they get 5 apprentices. You see what I mean? So all of a sudden, over several generations, you have, let's say, 100 people out of 1,000 that are able to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Definitely. And I will say the person that, and you can back me up with this, because like I said, I'm just now thinking about these concepts. The person that, let's say, invents the wheel or invents aqueducts, invents the wheel. That person's going to have 5 apprentices and now they're going to streamline the process of building said wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Now, the one person that did that, and I agree, I think it's one in 1,000 who's going to do that invention, but there might be 10 people in 1,000 that will take that leap in technology or, you know, that progress, and they will fine-tune it, and those are the 10 people that will fine-tune it and innovate that.
Correct. Yeah, this is perfect. So this is why you get the steep curve.
The smarty pool does grow, but I still think it's that one in 1,000. That's the hard number to get at. I don't think that's increasing.
I mean, you can make it whatever. Make it one in 10,000.
Right.
Okay, so one person out of 520-person groups. The point is still the same. Once that thing is invented, the next step up is much easier, right? Because you're going from nothing, from pure imagination, to like a solid physical object.
Sure.
Okay? And once you have a physical object, you don't need to be as smart as that first guy to figure out how to go to the next step. It's just a matter of reiterating on that process, right? And sometimes it could be a mistake, right? Like you chip a flint rock the wrong way, and all of a sudden you have like the perfect arrow shape. And you're like, oh shit, this is the perfect arrow shape. I need to do it this way, right? The first guy invented the arrow. Now this guy made a better arrow. And it's much easier because now they have arrows, right? So it's easier to make the better arrow than to go from no arrow to arrow. See what I mean? So once you have that one thing, you can go on to the next thing, and the next thing is much easier. And that's why you have a sharp increase in the amount of technology.
Yeah, that still happens to today.
Right. It happens more today.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, anyone can come out with an app, but it takes a certain person to wield the same concepts, and all of a sudden it becomes Waze.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's plenty of GPS apps out there, but all of a sudden when you're becoming the top one or two, you know, you did something that spoke to the mass populace.
Well, and the GPS app is a good example because a lot of apps just use the same data set, right? So it's just a matter of like you create an interface. And you just plug in the data set. right? Now you don't need to be the smarty pants that sends the satellites up. You just download the data set and there it is.
Yep.
Right? So you're just like a dummy pants that's smarter than the rest of the dummies.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. I'm glad we're in agreement there. Here's where it gets weird. What if it's possible that some of this stuff happens very often? Okay. So let's say we went in 5,000 years from, what did I say, the wheel to like go into space. Okay. To create him a quantum computer. What if like shit happens where like all that's erased every, I don't know, let's just make a number up, 50,000 years. So let's say in 45,000 years we get wiped out by like a comet or something. Okay. But some dummies end up surviving, right? And they find like the Nerdy Legion podcast. Right? They find a thumb drive with the Nerdy Legion podcast. Obviously they can't read the thumb drive, right? Because they don't have computers, they're dumb dumbs. But they know that it must be something special because it's obviously not a rock, right? It's a little plastic device with some symbol on it.
Sure.
So now they create the Church of Nerdy Legion.
Oh.
You see what I mean? Because the thumb drive says Nerdy Legion on it. And where does that go there? I mean, maybe Nerdy Legion's a bad example.
No, I like that example.
Let's say they somehow found the picture of Nick Wetmore. Okay.
Oh God.
Like you printed a picture and like the whole world exploded, but somehow like this picture of Nick Wetmore managed to stay there, right? Like under a pile of rocks. Okay. And these dum-dums living in a cave find the picture of Nick Wetmore.
And I become a deity.
Then you might become a deity.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like one of these dum-dums finds like a piece of paper that's got like a sketch on it's a napkin. It's a napkin. And on the napkin is like a picture of a paper airplane. Now they're like, oh my God, now we can make paper airplanes. Okay, they might call it something else. But where does this come from? Like, who were these people that made paper airplanes?
Right.
Right? And I don't think that's like necessarily unfeasible, right? Because like there's asteroid hits all the time, right? As far as we know, like nothing huge, like when the dinosaurs got blown up. But like these things happen all the time. There's like changes in temperature. I posted a graph on Twitter the other day, which I was surprised. I was expecting more like negative comments on it. And there were zero negative comments. But it was, I posted a couple graphs about like, average temperatures for the past like 10,000 years.
Yep, I remember it.
And right now, even though we're in an era of global warming, it's still like 5 degrees cooler than it was during the Roman Empire.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So don't you think that's weird? I mean, I'm not saying global warming is not real. Obviously, it's real. But let me tell you, Nick, right now in Florida, it's raining frozen iguanas.
Sounds like a Paul Thomas Anderson movie.
and our average temperature here now is like 4 degrees colder than the average. So, I mean, sure, it's warmer in some places. It's not warmer here. I'll tell you that. It's cold as shit.
Right.
So my thing was, so I put out these pictures and I was like, is global change real? Yes. Is global warming real? Maybe. But like, is it man-made?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Cause the data that you see like on CNN or whatever, it's since we've been keeping records of the temperature, right? So it's 150 years.
Yeah, the Farmer's Almanac.
Yes. But you can easily get weather data from 10,000 years ago, right? They drill the ice caps and they get temperature records that way. And what those records say is that it was a lot hotter back then. Well, not 10,000 years ago. We're coming out of the ice age. But, you know, since that period, it's been much warmer than it is now, right? So maybe like there were some super smart dudes. Maybe there were people with like boats. Okay. I'm not saying computers, but maybe they had boats and writing. Okay. On stone tablets. Okay. They don't even need paper. And shit got really warm and their crops didn't work, right? Cause the stuff that they ate was cold weather food and now it's hot and they don't know what to eat and that shit goes away. Or like ice caps melt and there's like some flooding. okay? And all that stuff's gone. And you can be like, well, you know, if they had stone tablets, where are the stone tablets, right? Like, if they had buildings, where are the buildings? And like, that shit doesn't last long. You know what I mean? You can go and look up like abandoned cities right now. Look up like, World War II abandoned cities, right? Like, there's a shit ton of them in like Russia and China and all over the place. Mm-hmm. There's some in the US. And you can't even like tell their cities anymore because they're just overgrown with vegetation, right? So the buildings might be there, but like you'd have to chop down all the trees and vines and stuff that grew on them. You know, like you build something out of metal, it doesn't last very long, right?
Yeah, the eeriest places to look up are the abandoned malls.
Yes.
Those are creepy, dude. You wanna put out a modern day horror story? Put it in an abandoned mall. Ay, ay, ay.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's a good idea. That's a good idea.
Yeah. Comic book story. Let's write one.
Next comic book story. I gotta finish this one.
Well, hurry up. I wanna read it.
Well, you know, I'm busy.
Dude, stop shrooming. Let's go.
Dude, I try to write on shrooms. It does not work.
That doesn't sound right.
However, the period after?
Yeah.
Very good.
Oh, nice.
Very good. Like several hours after.
Nice.
But not definitely not during. Definitely not immediately after.
Yeah.
At least like 6 hours after. But sure. Anyways.
So that makes sense.
If you have like metal buildings, right? Like we build giant skyscrapers out of metal. Mm-hmm. Or take like bridges. They do upkeep on bridges like every few months.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because they start rusting, like the screws start coming loose.
Aren't they always like painting the Golden Gate Bridge?
Yeah.
Like constantly, year round.
Well, yeah, because they have a problem with the salt water.
Right.
Because it just like strips away all the paint.
Yeah, maintenance and everything. It's just year round.
It's all the time.
Yep.
You got to do it. You know, like even just earthquakes, like that shit will fucking go down.
But you look at like how the like water will beat against rocks and you just see how the rock is just giving way to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's not even over a long time. Think about like over 10,000 years.
Yeah. Right?
Like there'd be nothing there. So could there be something before that? Maybe. I don't know. Could it have happened many times? Could there have been like super balls ass smart people like 150,000 years ago? Maybe. They don't have computers. I doubt that. But maybe they had some like cool stuff, right? Like they could build boats.
Mm-hmm.
Very possible. I don't know. I'm curious what listeners think. Because I know some of the listeners, what they're going to say. Because they love this stuff. Because when I'll write something about this and be like, why am I not tagged on this? And I'm like, I didn't know you were into it. That's why.
Right.
So anyways, I want to throw that out there. I want to know what people think. Because surely I'm not the only one.
So what's the most advanced society?
Like right now or like...
No. What's your favorite like advanced society? Like the time period that they came up.
Ah.
What was the most advanced society? Your favorite advanced society. I know what my two are.
Oh, mine's easy.
Go ahead.
It's like ancient Egypt.
Yes. I would say the Incas or Egypt. Egyptian.
Yes. So there's an interesting thing. Because there is like tentative proof that like they built their stuff on older stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So like, for example, a lot of the pyramids, I think the Great Pyramid is one of them, is built on like, a square temple. There's like a temple like underneath the pyramid.
Oh.
Same thing with, like, the Inca stuff. So the Incas were what, like, it was before Columbus came here, right? So whatever that is, 1400s, 1500s. You can go, like, a little bit older. So, like, the Maya would be maybe 1,000 years before that.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, like, very particular ways of building structures, okay? Like, the shapes of the bricks are a certain way. Like, they use a certain type of mortar, this, that, and the other. But a lot of the buildings, like, if you look at them, it's, like, multiple layers of them. So they'd be, like right now we build with, like, small bricks, right? How big is a brick? Like, I don't fucking know. 4 inches wide by like 8 inches long, let's say. So let's say the Incas built their stuff like that. But then like on the base, there's like a layer, like a wall with blocks that are like 5 feet wide by like 8 feet long, right? And weigh like whatever, 10 tons. And then like on top of it, here's like these little bricks, right? There's a lot of evidence of that kind of thing in the Americas for sure. But all over the place.
Yeah, I love it.
There's like some weird stuff in, like Malta and Sicily, for example. Like they have pyramids there. Nobody ever talks about them. There's like apparently hundreds of pyramids in China that nobody talks about because the Chinese government won't let anybody like dig in there. Yeah, you should look up Chinese pyramids. Fucking awesome. All I'm saying is there had to be something before. You know what I mean? What it is, I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
But I do think that like, in particular with, cause history's always weird, right? What's the saying? Like history's written by the victors.
Yep.
And it doesn't like necessarily mean that like there's a war and you won. Like maybe you're just a dummy that was hiding in the cave because somebody was bullying you and then like an asteroid came and killed everybody else. Right? Now you're the winner because you're the only one left.
Yeah, just because you're sitting in a cave doesn't mean 500 feet from you there isn't somebody developing plumbing in an aqueduct.
Sure, maybe.
You're just sitting in a cave. Like, you have no idea that technology's happening. Mm-hmm. A stone throw away.
Yep. And, and you know, maybe there were other species that were smart, too. I remember when I was in school, and I'm sure this was the same for you. I don't know, maybe not. When did they find Neanderthals, they found in like the 20s, right? But I remember when I was going to school, they always told us like, yeah, there were people, and then like before people, there were Neanderthals, and like they were kind of monkey looking and lived in caves, and like they couldn't speak, right? They just grunted. Like the typical caveman thing that you would see in like a movie, right?
Yeah, the Ringo Starr caveman.
The Ringo Starr caveman, there you go.
Right, with Barbara Bach.
Episode title. Good job, Nick.
Thank you.
But now like that they've been actually studying these things, they find that Neanderthals were not stupid, right? Like they had language and they had tools.
Mm-hmm.
And there could be many reasons why they died off, right? Like they interbred, or like people killed them, or like global warming, right? Because they're used to being in the cold, and now it's warm, and they can't adapt.
Or 2001 A Space Odyssey.
The monolith comes down.
You never know.
Maybe the ancient aliens came and just like abducted other Neanderthals. I don't know.
I hope so.
But then now they're finding like all these groups everywhere, right? So they did... what was it? You heard about the hobbits?
Tolkien hobbits?
No, the real hobbits.
What?
You haven't heard about this?
With the big feet?
Well, they didn't have big feet, but they were little.
In the movies, they did.
So the hobbits they found in the island of Florence, maybe. I think it's like near Thailand somewhere.
Mm.
Small island, like. All the animals there are tiny, basically. Like, they had pygmy elephants.
Oh, wow.
Right? They're, like, 4 feet tall.
Jeez.
And they found, like, a species of people there. Like, not living, right? They found skeletons.
Mm-hmm.
That are, like, 3 feet tall. Okay? Like, tiny, tiny people.
Like Gulliver's Travels? Like Lilliputians?
Well, I mean, those were, like, 6 inches tall.
I don't know.
These are, like, waist-sized people.
Hey, if an elephant is 4 feet tall, I would think that that person next to the elephant would be about a foot and a half tall.
You don't shrink proportionately.
Hey, I'm just saying, if you're giving me 4 foot elephant, I could be a foot and a half. That's all I'm saying.
What's the name of this? Let me see how big this elephant is.
Are you sure it's not Darby O'Gill and the Little People?
The island of Flores. All right, let me see how big this elephant is. Elephant, not elementary school.
what search terms are you using over there?
I was putting island of Flores, and it gave me elementary school. Okay, damn, I was yeah. Okay. So there were 1.5 to 2 meters. So that's 4.5 to 6 foot tall.
Ah,
that's, well, that's still tiny for an elephant.
Oh, you're talking elephant. What about the person?
Let's see.
I'm sure, they're not 1.5 feet.
3'7".
I was close.
So 3.5 feet.
Yeah, next to a 5 foot elephant.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
I mean, that's a tiny person. Like midgets are taller than that.
And now DuckDuckGo, Darby O'Gill, and the little people, and tell how little they are.
All right, give me that again.
Darby O'Gill.
Uh huh.
And the little people.
And you want to know how big they are?
How tall those they were.
I don't think it's going to tell me that.
Did you do an image search so at least you can see what I'm talking about?
I see exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, Martin, you killed me. You make up all this shit. Oh, God. You just tickle me. But if I saw a 4 foot elephant, I would lose my shit.
I would ride the shit out of it.
But look at all these, little dogs and cats and ponies and potbelly pigs.
Mm-hmm.
All these people are like, oh, look at this. And you know that you look at something like that and it's like, oh, that's just crossbreeding done wrong. What the hell's going on here? What are we doing? Like, yeah, but now I can put that horse right into my purse and now I can just carry it right onto a plane.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's crazy with that elephant.
Yep. 5 foot elephant.
Wow.
Anyway, so those people, and then what's the other one? Denisovans. That one's pretty new. I think they discovered that in 2010.
Wow.
So it's 10 years ago. And that one is in Central Asia. Yes. But now they're doing and the cool thing is they can do DNA analysis, right? So a lot of people of European descent have Neanderthal DNA in them. Okay.
What? That's a 23andMe thing?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. So I've never done it, but my brother has, Lucas.
Yeah.
And I think his came up 3% Neanderthal.
How much Darby O'Gill and the little people is Lucas? Dying to know.
I don't know, man. We're tall people, so probably 0.
Damn it.
Probably 0.
Right. No redheads in the Ferretti house.
No redheads.
Dang it.
And then a lot of people in Southeast Asia apparently have high levels of Denisovan DNA. Okay, 2 to 3%. And the Denisovan thing is cool. So part of this, why I'm saying this is a lot of the viewpoint has changed on what these people were like, right? Like Neanderthals, okay, for example. With the Denisovans, they found a jade bracelet. I think it was broken in half. You can see a picture of it. And it's got this hole drilled through it. Maybe it was an earring. I don't remember. But it's got this hole drilled through it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not jade. It's some kind of green rock. That's super hard, right? Like granite hard. So how does a person, let's say 50,000 years ago, doesn't even have metal. How do you drill a tiny 5 millimeter hole all the way through something that's level 3 on the hardness scale?
What's the answer?
There is no answer. Nobody knows.
What?
Nobody knows, because we didn't have the tools to do that until 6,000 years ago.
What?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Dude, I'm telling you.
Are you sure this isn't time travel?
There's no time.
Are you sure this isn't travel? Are you sure somebody at K Jewelers didn't zip in there? Because you can't spell kiss without a K. Didn't zip back there and drill through that jade for him. Is that what you're telling me?
I mean, maybe it was the ancient aliens.
Could it have been? Is that what Jonathan Hickman's shield based on?
Oh, God.
Did Da Vinci go back in time and that's what he did? He drilled some jade?
Dude, me and Hickman need to do some mushrooms together.
Yeah, you do. For sure. I'll narrate that one. I'll do that for free. Damn.
But yes, I'm sure.
That is fascinating. I don't know how they would do that.
Right.
And you always find ancient jewelry, and it's like, how did they come up with that?
Yes. Well, and to go back to a previous example, like, how do you build the pyramids?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, these blocks are like 3 tons a piece. And the Great Pyramid literally has millions of blocks.
So are you looking for scientific fact or going back to your previous statement? Or are you just taking all of this on faith?
No, I'm just thinking about it.
Well, that's why I'm asking you.
Because I want to figure it out.
You know what you're, I mean? Like, you're very science-based and fact-based.
I am.
But there's a lot of things that bring up questions, and you certainly can't solve that mystery right now. You're not Leonard Nimoy, Unsolved Mysteries.
Well, absolutely. But you got to think about it, right? So, like, how does a person lift a 3-ton rock?
Right.
Well, you can't, right? Like, physically, you can't. So you have to have some tool, right? Like, and what's that tool? Well, like, you can build a crane, but, you know, 4,000 years ago, can you build, like, a 500-foot tall crane? Probably not. So, can't be a crane. I found this really cool video about... I don't know how true any of this is. I gotta think. I've been thinking about this for like 2 days. I still can't figure it out if I like it or not. But I found this video about building the pyramids with water. And it seems feasible, but seems like more work than building the pyramid. You know what I mean? Cause I think like
more work than slave labor.
Well, and to be honest, like the official theory of how the pyramids are built, like, doesn't make any sense to me. Right. Cause it's like, you know, they had thousands of slaves doing this stuff. Like, who's teaching slaves how to cut 3-ton rocks, like, perfectly flat?
Right.
Right. Like, why would you take the time to do that? Wouldn't it be easier just to have, like, a stonemason do it? So, like, okay, maybe, like, they had the slaves drag the rocks. But, like, you know how many people it would take to drag a 3-ton block? With no wheel, because they didn't have the wheel yet. They hadn't invented the wheel, so you're just like dragging 3-ton blocks through the desert for like 50 miles from the quarry to the pyramid. That doesn't make any sense either. And then like to get to the top, you would have to build a ramp, right, to drag the blocks to the top of the pyramid. And in order to have an incline that's not too sharp to climb with this rock, you would have to have, it would take more material to build the ramp than is required to build a pyramid. And this would be like a 5-mile long ramp.
Maybe you just answered your question with all these questions. You answered your first question. What did they do with all that time in between X to Y?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's what they were doing, pushing these damn rocks for 18 hours a day. What else do they have to do?
I mean, they had maybe. To, they had we to don't eat.
Know. We don't know. How do you know? How do you know how long all this took? You don't.
Well,
there's conjecture on it.
The historical record says 20 years.
20 years. I don't know if I believe that.
That's what the historical record says, is 20 years.
Because that is some motivated people right there. But, and how do they sleep and eat?
Well, not only that, if it took 20 years to build it, somebody did the math on this. It's like placing one block every 3 seconds.
Yeah, that's crazy. So that's all I'm saying.
How many people would you need dragging a block 50 miles to place a block every 3 seconds?
Right.
You see what I mean? That doesn't make sense. So that can't be the reason.
You know what we have to do? Let's just end all this stuff. You know what we need to do?
Invent time travel.
We need to go see James Spader, jump into a Stargate, and go back and see for ourselves. And fight those sweet-looking guys in those Falcon masks.
Yeah, the...
Those staves? Hell yeah. What were those guys called?
Damn it. I remember the gods were the Goa'uld.
That's what we should be doing, dude.
Oh, man. What were those guys? Yeah, I love those guys. The Tari... No, the Tari were the humans. Like, from people from Earth. Damn it. Now I can't remember. Now I gotta go watch Stargate. Thank you. It's fantastic. I'm gonna watch the movie, not the series.
You sent me down some great rabbit holes today.
Yeah. All I'm saying is, it's easier to say what something is not, right? And some of these things seem just utterly ridiculous. Like even the general scientific consensus of some of these things.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe some of the weird shit is not so offbeat. You know what I'm saying? Like, is it ancient aliens? I don't think so. But, like, it could be. It makes just as much sense as, you know, building a 10-mile-long ramp.
Or, shit, even the math of every 30 seconds or whatever it is, 3 minutes.
A block every 3 seconds.
I mean, hell, let's be honest. Even if it was a block every 30 days, that would be a hell of a lot to do in 30 days.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and like the official like Egyptian history seems a little weird too. Because like I think they found like one book where like it talks about how they built the pyramids. Mm-hmm. And basically it's like a railgun.
Oh, geez.
For blocks. Like the priests lined up in rows. And they had those staffs that look like tuning forks.
Mm-hmm.
And they would, like, smack the ground, and that would, like, levitate the rocks. Like,
wow, that's some Hellraiser shit right there.
See, like, does that make sense? Probably not either. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
I looked into, by the way, acoustic levitation. All we can lift right now is, like, little tiny pebbles.
Dang it. Could you lift more with acoustic levitation or magnetism?
Magnetism.
But well, you would also need gigantic magnets.
It seems easier with magnetism.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think the acoustic levitation is only like 8 or 10 years to research, whereas the magnetism is much longer. In fact, I found the video on YouTube. Shit, I should have saved it. Did I save it? I think I did. If I saved it, I'll put it in the show notes.
Nice.
I found a YouTube video from 1975.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's like the British Carl Sagan.
Ooh.
And
you're talking.
He explains how electromagnetism works.
Mm-hmm.
Like from the very basics is how it starts off. And then like it gets progressively more complicated with the examples. And then he finishes off basically building a maglev train.
Jeez.
And this is like before maglev trains were a thing. Right.
Yeah, this is the 70s.
This is the research that we're putting in. Like, this is the thing that maybe we could do with it.
Yeah, this is some Elon Musk stuff.
Yeah, it was awesome. And, like, the way he explains it, like, any dummy coming out of the cave could figure it out.
Why haven't we done this, people? All y'all are stupid. Look what I can do.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, so, and that took me down that acoustic levitation rabbit hole. And there's some like really cool stuff in there. Like this is a guy, I can't remember what university he works at. He's the one that like basically invented this device.
Mm-hmm.
And like when he first invented it, it required like two plates, right? One on the bottom, one on the top. Kind of like when I described that dumbass magnetic shoe thing. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That ended up being super awesome for comics, but dumb for shoes. It was kind of like that. But over the years, like, he's figured out how to do it with just, like, a bottom plate. And it's, like, awesome, dude. He can, like, he levitates his little, like, styrofoam pebble right in the middle. Because, again, you can't do a whole lot of weight. But you can basically have it, like, you can make it into different devices. So, like, he's got one that's, like, a claw, basically, right, that you put in your hand. So there's, like, little ultrasonic speakers on your palm and then, like, on your fingers. So you can like grab the little styrofoam pebble and like move it around and it just like floats in the middle of your hand.
Is the glove black?
Yes.
And is his whole entire outfit black, but his headdress is white? And it looks sort of like a neutron? Is his name Havoc? Does he have a brother named Scott?
Yes, he is the child of the atom.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. But dude, that led me to some like really cool, like legit tech stuff that they're doing with this thing. I found the video. I think it was out of Cambridge.
Can you imagine what they're doing at like Argonne Labs?
Oh, for sure.
That we're never going to hear about for 15 years, probably.
So there was this group in another university that saw this guy's prototype, like levitation, acoustic levitation thing, and made a three-dimensional holographic display out of the technology. And basically what they do is they like levitate the little styrofoam pebble and they shoot lasers at it, like different colored lasers.
Sheesh.
And they can move the little styrofoam pebble in patterns And by shooting the lasers in specific patterns, they can create like three-dimensional shapes floating in midair. Because the little pebble's moving so fast that it looks like a solid shape. Wow. And because it's ultrasonic, they can add tactile to it. So like you can try to go and grab the little pebble and it feels like you're actually grabbing it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's fucking awesome, dude.
That's crazy.
Yes.
That is some edge science right there.
Edge science indeed. That's what this podcast is all about, is edge science.
I like it. I like hearing this stuff.
We're edge scientists.
Oh.
Anyways.
Hey, on a quick serious note.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of tangentially related to Stargate.
Oh, yes.
But serious. Headdress.
Mm.
Cat or falcon or snake?
Falcon, dude.
Yeah, falcon's where it's at.
Falcon. Always.
Definitely.
That's why I have the little owl-headed guy in my story.
I know. I remarked about that owl head. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Minor spoiler. Is it in the next issue? Yes. It's not an owl head. It's a falcon head.
Damn it! You ruined it. Told you don't ruin it.
Well, I mean, his name is Harakhti, and so it's based after Horus, that's a falcon god. So that should be a giveaway.
Hey, I like it. I like it spelled out in my comic books, all right? I don't want to read too much into it, because then I'll be one of those crazy readers that's like, well, that doesn't make any sense, because the name that you chose is originally based on this Greek variation of blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, yeah, yeah, I just want to read it.
Well, lucky for you, I explain why first he's an owl head and then he's a falcon head.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I want this back matter in the comic book.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Harakhti, Horus of the Horizon.
Mm.
See, you learned some ancient Egyptian tonight.
I learned a lot tonight.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad. This is the number one educational podcast on iTunes.
On iTunes?
Oh, see, I gotta change the category. Cause I think this show is listed under arts. And I don't think that's the right category for the show.
There's no entertainment category?
There is not.
Comedy?
There is a comedy.
What about Needlepoint? Can we put ourselves under Needlepoint?
No Needlepoint, but I think Spotify might have a Needlepoint category.
Oh, hell yeah. Number one Needlepoint? On Spotify.
Because we'd be the only Needlepoint podcast.
Hell yeah. We're dominating that market.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
See, that's what we got to do. I need to change the category to a category of podcasts that have little to no podcasts.
Yeah.
Or are like podcasts that nobody listens, like history. Because then it'd be like Hardcore History at number one and then Nerdy Legion at number two.
I'd be a little scared. Imagine all the people coming for a history lesson. And we're talking about, all the dumb stuff we talked about tonight.
Well, see, the thing is, they don't have a variety category. That's the problem. This is a variety show.
That's true. We're like a modern-day Carol Burnett show.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I was going to go with, like, Sonny and Bono, but that works, too.
Sonny and Cher?
Oh, Sonny and Cher. Sonny and Bono. Oh, it's Sonny Bono.
Yes, it is.
Yes, we are a modern-day Sonny and Cher.
On the Carol Burnett show, who would you be? I know I want to be Tim Conway. I would not be Tim Conway.
Oh, I would love to be Tim Conway.
I would be Vicki Lawrence.
Really?
Yes, yes.
Is that Martin Lawrence's mom?
Yes, yes it is. Yes. You know, Martin Lawrence's mom who was in Mama's Family. Yes.
Oh, it's Joey Lawrence's mom.
Exactly.
Yes, got it. Got it. We figured it out.
Thank you.
Anyways, wait, do you remember what story you're going to tell me? Because now I forgot. Oh, do you want to talk about the frother?
No, I don't care about that. No. Moving on.
All right, well, I think we should wrap it up then.
All right, let's wrap it up.
Thank you for listening to the number one Needle, whatever Nick said, podcast.
Needlepoint
podcast on Spotify. And the number one history podcast in Sri Lanka on iTunes. Thank you. If you have comments about the show, by all means, let us know on Twitter. Nick Webmore, at Geekvine, at Nerd Legion, and of course you can email hello@nerdlegion.com. Thank you. for listening. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.